You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lou Need Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Lee Noto. She guides women on a journey to embodying their inner highest priestess so that they can create deep, intimate partnerships and relationships, not just with other people, but with themselves. Her mission is to help women feel empowered and free in their expression. And so with no further ado, I would love to welcome you to the show. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lynette. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is an honor. I'm delighted to have you here. And I know we were talking off air real quickly about your last name, Noto. And I was remiss and said it was Hawaiian, but you quickly corrected me. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background, because your last name is actually Italian, as you just taught me.
Yes. Yeah. So my father's side of the family is from Italy and my mother's side of the family is from China. So it's a really fascinating mix. And I always, growing up, I would joke and say, it just means I have good food all the time. Chinese food, Italian food. A really beautiful mix of cultures that are very different from one another. My parents are very different from one another. But I always felt growing up that I got this beautiful mix of discipline and structure with a lot of love and connection.
Yeah, that's beautiful, combining the two different cultures. And then you're seeing the silver lining. Food is always good.
Yes.
And have you traveled to both places?
I have. I've had the great fortune of being able to do so, and I'm so excited to go back.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Now, tell us about what is it that you do, and how did it start? Like, what's your journey into what you do now and coming up with Inner High Priestess? Like, I know there's so much value behind that, but tell us how your journey towards that. How'd you get here?
Absolutely. So as a woman growing up in the West, like so many of us, we were taught to value achievement, accolades, degrees, all of the things that create status and in our minds create safety. Mm-hmm. So I grew up, especially with a Chinese mother, placing a very high value on achievement and performance. And that was my mode of measuring my self-worth throughout my entire life, was I'm doing well if I'm making this much money or if I have these letters behind my name. Mm-hmm. And it worked well for much of my life. And like you, I spent a lot of time in New York City, living there, doing the New York City hustle, which absolutely enlivened me. And then I also, for much time, felt there was something very deeply missing. I was very burnt out. I was very much in the go and do and hustle of corporate America, trying to make it as a young woman in her career. And I had noticed that I was really missing out on a lot of qualities that I wanted to embody, like gentleness and nurture and more open-heartedness, which tend to be associated with the feminine, mm-hmm. separate from gender identity, of course. And there was no space in my mind for me to create that, because the idea that I had was, I'm not safe unless I am making this much money and I'm working and hustling all the time. And that's the impression that a lot of people have. And as I went on that journey and created utter burnout for myself to the point of severe health challenge, I had asked myself, what is this for? What am I doing? What kind of person, leader, woman do I want to be in this world? And who are the examples around me of women that are embodying the way of life that I want to embody? Yeah. And as I looked in media for examples, I found some, but when I got into looking at this archetype of the high priestess, this was the embodiment of woman that I was like, okay, this is it. This archetype is gentle and loving and open-hearted and vulnerable. And she's a leader. She's grounded. She's confident. She's bold. She's this full spectrum woman who across the board has it all. And she knows she's worthy of having it all, getting to have the dream life in her career and in love and in spirituality and across the board. And so I set out to study this archetype very closely and decided this is the woman I want to be. And I know that I'm not the only one. I know so many other women deep down want to have it all, but don't know how to do it and get pulled in so many different directions. So I built my business around this archetype, and the journey that I take women on is the inner journey to embodying their inner high priestess, whatever that may look like for them, and going on the heroine's journey with other women to live their most fulfilled lives where they feel expressed, confident, they are connected to their sensuality and pleasure, and they're also leaders in their communities. So that's how this archetype came to be developed. And that's a large part of the work that I do today.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because I know you have not just, you have your bachelor's, you have your master's, you really followed that education path and pleasing your mom and pleasing your family. And a lot of us experience that, especially coming out and not finding work in that field or being fulfilled by the work that we are doing, because we're not living in our inner divinity. We're not living in our full potential or purpose, for that matter. So get into a little bit how that transition was for you, because as a corporate worker, even management and higher up working in the 9-to-5, there is no room to be that other person that you so embody yourself. So tell us about the transition for you.
Yeah. So while I was in corporate America, at some point I knew that I could make a lot of forward momentum. I could climb the corporate ladder. I saw that there was an opportunity to do that. And, you know, for the sake of having a nice salary and cushy benefits, it really turned me on. That felt very appealing to me. Yeah. And there was also this other part of me that was pulling that said, Lee, there's something else. And I didn't know what it was. I had no idea at the time. I just knew something was missing. And, you know, to be honest, I don't know that I would have voluntarily stepped away from that role, the role that I was in. But the universe really worked with me. And I ended up going on a very spiritual vision quest to Peru in 2017. And I was away for 2 weeks. And when I came back, I had a meeting with my manager. And she said, while you were away, we had recognized that there was a redundancy in your role. And your last day is effective December 1. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is so fascinating. This is exactly what I had been thinking of, but didn't have the courage yet to really make the move myself. And so I was helped out by the forces that be. And I got laid off. And since then, I never looked back. And thankfully, during that time, because I had the security of the full-time job, I had gone back to earn 2 coaching certifications and was apprenticing with a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I had already had some sort of foundation built outside of corporate America to land on when the layoff happened. So everything worked out perfectly. I honestly couldn't have planned it better myself.
That's fantastic. And then taking that leap of faith, knowing that it was going to work. And that was your calling. How was Peru? Did you go to Machu Picchu?
Oh my gosh, yes. I went to Machu Picchu. Peru, that trip changed my life. I got to work with a number of shamans there using some of the traditional plants to be in very deep spiritual ceremony. And the kinds of things that I discovered about myself in my relationship to myself, in my relationship to my parents, particularly because at this point in my life, I was in my mid-20s. And at that time, we're still kind of negotiating our individuality in some ways, for people who grow up in Western society where we're in our home until 18 and then perhaps we go off to university. You know, we haven't really taken that bigger leap of independence in that sort of family construct. So our big leap is when we go off to university. And that's when we start to individuate. That's when we start to step away from our parents and into ourselves as adults. And this trip really signified almost a coming of age for me, a walking into womanhood separate from my identity with my mother and from my father. And during that trip, I got to say, in my own inner spiritual quest, thank you, Mom and Dad, for all you've done for me And whatever is not mine, whatever habits and beliefs and behaviors I've taken on of yours that don't actually feel like a fit for me, thank you. And I'm leaving them now. I'm complete. And in that declaration to myself, it was an initiation into a new kind of womanhood. And that was what really started the journey into doing the work that I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's powerful. That is powerful because a lot of the things that I currently work with young people is actually eradicating those old beliefs, those old programming that are so ingrained, right? Because we've been, our personalities have been built because we're downloading program at the age of 0 to 7 years old. Personalities created, and somehow we've heard something, we saw something that actually we carry with us through adulthood, and that becomes a compass for our life. In the direction that we go, the behaviors that we partake in, the beliefs, the dialogue that goes on in our mind. And so for you to be able to, the becoming of you, to be able to do that so freely is powerful. And I'm sure it wasn't snap a finger and it was done and said, right? There was some struggle. So tell us about that process to becoming your own woman and becoming who you are, letting go of all those old thought patterns.
Yeah, there was definitely a journey. It was a heroine's journey for sure. And like many others on the spiritual journey, I had this impression once I had started getting into my own spiritual development, I thought I had all the answers. I mean, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed 20-something who thinks she knows it all. And now I'm like, Mom, Dad, I know it all. And I need to change you because you're the broken ones. And I say this very sarcastically. Yeah. That those conversations didn't go over well with my parents because nobody wants to be changed. Nobody wants to feel like there's something wrong with them or something that needs to be fixed. I approached those things with good intention. And there was, at that point, I recognized a sort of emotional and spiritual immaturity where I needed to change my external circumstances in order for me to feel good or happy or whole. And that's not in truth how it works. And so the quest was learning to be in non-attachment, learning to be in deep acceptance of presence, both with myself and with the world around me. And a part of that big challenge was shortly after that quest to Peru, I ended up being broken up with by a partner that I was deeply in love with. And at that point in my life, I had not done some of the inner work to learn how to process my emotions. Mm-hmm. And so I pushed everything down and suppressed it. I threw myself into my work as a means of distraction. And I ended up extremely burnt out and with Bell's palsy, which is where half of the left side of my face was paralyzed because of extreme stress and burnout. And that was a really big wake-up call for me to say something's got to change because what I just created in my body, this dis-ease, this unwellness, was not because of whatever the doctor told me it was from. I knew that there was a deep emotional root and there were deep-seated beliefs that caused me to behave in the way that I did. And so to meet that part of myself with compassion and to also see what was no longer working as a fundamental belief system really kicked some stuff up for me. But it was the catalyst that really kind of pushed me on my way to creating even more autonomy and sovereignty for myself as a woman.
Yeah, it's kind of like that cocoon that before becoming a butterfly, you know, it hurts, struggled, you're stretching out your new layer, new skin. And once you do, you're free.
Yes.
Flutter. Yes. Yeah, it's totally worth the work, the deep work that goes into it. And how do you help your clients do the same?
So one of my core principles, which I've learned in my journey is that, and this is a principle that I operate by, there's nothing that needs to be fixed about us. There's nothing wrong with us. We're not broken. If we can operate from the assumption that we are whole and complete, then how might we approach our development and our journey differently? Would we approach this and see things from a place of possibility versus something that we need to do to fix ourselves? And so a lot of this journey that I guide women on is firstly creating a fundamental sense of safety within. A lot of the reason why we operate in the world as we do is because we are seeking safety. And a lot of those behaviors tend to show themselves in ways that don't feel in alignment with who we want to be as conscientious adults. And what that looks like a lot of times, especially for women, is being really closed off, very boundaried. And there's a difference between, of course, healthy boundaries and having extreme walls up, especially if we've gone through traumatic experiences in our lives where caretakers showed us that we were not safe.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and a lot of people have experienced that, unfortunately. So how are we reclaiming our inherent sense of safety, which is our birthright? We don't have to earn it or do anything to get that. And how are we creating that within ourselves? And from that foundation of safety, then how can we build bold self-expression, confidence, the ability to feel safe in connecting with our sensual and sexual energy, this ability to express authentically and go after the big dreams that we have versus continuing to play in what's comfortable for us. So everything's built upon safety, self-compassion, and unconditional love.
Unconditional love for oneself. I love that you bring it inward, and that you're right. We do. We are the universe, the creator that has created us is in us. We have that those same powers, and we don't know how to quite tap into them because of these beliefs or these I call them ants, automatic negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. That run rancid. And so bringing it inward, I love that, is empowering.
Yeah.
And the fact that we don't need to change, we don't need to do so much if we just focus on the relationship with self, because
right,
we have 60,000 thoughts and 90% of them are negative. And a lot of it is towards the self.
Yeah.
It's alarming.
It's quite alarming.
It's alarming to hear that and the impact that it will have on our decision making. Mm-hmm. On who we decide to be with or how at peace we are mentally and inwardly. So right. Tell us a little bit about the inner intimacy that takes place with oneself and the value of that.
Yes. So here's what I always tell people. You know, it's tempting to think that we have to do all of these things.
Yeah.
That we have 90 million fires to put out and we have to fix this thing and go do this thing and take this course and learn this modality. All of those things can be wonderful supplementary tools. However, if we want to get to the real root of what's happening and just be with the one thing, it is being with ourselves. And that includes seeing parts of ourselves that we might not want to see. And this is where we get into some of our own shadow realms, which is, what are the tendencies and behaviors and thoughts I have that may not be serving me? And how can I observe those things with love and with acceptance? And I'll tell you, I think for a lot of us, 2020 was a year of radical reckoning with the self, where we all kind of took a peek behind the curtain and we saw parts of ourselves that didn't seem so appealing. And when we go on that inner journey with unconditional love for ourselves, and when we hold space for ourselves the way we would for our dearest friend or for our children, we would love them no matter what. When we do that for ourselves, we create fundamental safety within, and everything that we want comes from that root. Yeah. So if we want to have our dream job, if we want to be making millions, if we want to be feeling confident and bold and attracting the partner that we've always imagined and having a transformational relationship, the only thing that there really is to look at is how we're creating inherent safety within and a sense of unconditional love and acceptance. Once we have really explored that, and it's an ongoing journey, that radiates out into everything we do, because our relationship to the world around us is a reflection of our relationship with ourselves. So if we want to see the nice reflection in the mirror, then really treating ourselves how we would treat our dearest loved ones, in my opinion, in my experience, in my knowing, is the answer.
Mm-hmm. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. The way yes. you treat yourself is how you treat everyone else. It really starts with you. And it's like, if you want to see change around you, you first have to change.
Yes, absolutely.
And that does stand true. And it's quite powerful. I'm real. Thank you for sharing, sharing that insight. So tell us about your habits, you know, your beliefs, and more specifically, how do you get up, dress up, and show up, right? What's your morning routine like that has like primed you and set you up so that you can be your best self and mm-hmm. then show up for your business, your family?
Yes. So I used to be of the belief that I needed to have a very stacked morning routine, 20 minutes of meditation and then journaling. And it had to be the same thing every day because that was what, you know, a good girl does, really, really staying on track. And it was a very regimented approach. And in some seasons of my life, those kinds of approaches work well for me. Mm-hmm. What I'm finding right now is taking time in the morning to go very slow. Mm-hmm. Anything that I can do to stretch my morning out. On some days, that looks like journaling with a cup of hot cacao. Mm-hmm. And that is what most of my mornings look like, is very sensuously making this ritualistic morning beverage that I enjoy every sip of. And when I bring a sense of sensuality and intention into my morning, no matter what I'm doing, it sets the tone for the rest of my day. Because I find that I have many mornings naturally where as soon as the alarm goes off, my first thought is, what time is it? What do I need to get done today? Where am I behind? And it's this just this onslaught of anxious thinking. And when I create leadership in my morning and I say, okay, I got that those thoughts are there. And how do I want to really show up to my day? I want to feel relaxed. I want to feel free. I want to feel creative. I want to feel turned on, excited, in joy, in pleasure, in trust, in surrender. Now, from that place, what's going to allow me to create that? Either what do I need to do or what do I need to not do? Because sometimes it's much less about the things we do and more about how we be, how we show up. So how can I show up sensuously to my morning so that even if I have emails to check, I'm checking them with joy and excitement about the new opportunities that are ahead of me. So it's really in my morning, I prime myself with slowness, stretching, sometimes breath work, journaling, and really allowing myself to enjoy every moment of whatever time I have in the morning to prime my body, not only my mind, but so that my body feels relaxed and in a state of rest and relaxation before I hop into the engaging day.
It's a very holistic approach. You really, it's the mind, body, and spirit, right? I love that you said, and I preach that as well. I say that as well, is what you do in the first 10 to 20 minutes of your day sets the tone for the rest of it. If it's chaotic, you're going to get that chaotic vibe. If it's checking your social media, it's proven that you, every 15 minutes, upon the hour, you want to check social media because you've set that energy, you've set that vibe, you set that momentum. You kicked it into gear versus as you would writing your journal. And journaling is a form of meditation within itself. And jotting down your thoughts and not focusing on what the to-do list and what to do, but just being present and being in the moment. And one thing that I love to do in that journaling piece is the gratitude, the things that I'm thankful for, the things that I am appreciative for and grateful that are in my life. And that only breeds and gives you more things to find to be grateful for, more things. And imagine starting the day with that kind of energy.
Yeah.
Very different from a chaotic one. So really appreciate that. And for the deep breath that you talked about and actually exercising, getting at peak state, Tony Robbins is all about that. Like you really have to get the body moving. Even if it's just starting the heart rate, getting the heart rate up before your full workout, that really gives you that sense of alertness and wakefulness.
Yes, absolutely.
Without a doubt. And so anything else that primes you for the day in the morning that you incorporate in your morning routine?
Very, very simply, I love starting every morning with a hot shower. It just really, there is a change of state going from the sleepy dream state of, you know, my bed hair and, you know, my pajamas to completely sort of washing off the night and waking up alert. You know, I feel like a new person after I've showered. So there's something for me in a hot morning shower that will always kick me into gear that I relish. I love it. That becomes a meditation as well.
That is very interesting because we talk a lot about taking cold showers. After your hot shower, you make the last minute ice cold because of the benefits that comes with it, kicking off your metabolism, but also that full alertness and wakefulness that comes with it. So when you said hot shower, I was like, oh, I have to chime in here. Because a lot of entrepreneurs just like swear by making the last 60 seconds of their warm shower ice cold because of the benefits. Have you ever considered that?
Yeah, I was doing cold showers at one point in winter specifically. And I have phases with how courageous I feel in the morning. Some mornings I'm like, all right, I can go for it. I never regret it.
Yeah.
And those first 10 seconds, sometimes I gotta get over the hump.
Yeah, and it requires some deep, deep breathing to get over that hump. But what really happens that's phenomenal in that process, Lee, is you get comfortable with being uncomfortable very fast.
Yes.
And that transcends through the day. That transcends to other relationships. That kind of puts you in a position to speak up, right? In a meeting, to express yourself as you are all about that. To have the courage to show up as your authentic and real self and not hold back because you are afraid of how you're going to be perceived, because you're uncomfortable. That level of discomfort really holds us down. And we don't even, it's unconscious.
Right.
You know, we don't even see it.
Yeah, there is something really unique about building resilience, psychological resilience through physiological discomfort.
Yes. Yeah, you nailed it, right? That's where I was going with it. Like, sometimes that's the training that has to take place. That's how you build that muscle, because it's not something you decide and then just like magic, it happens. There's that work that goes into it. You're training it. But that shows how habits are built.
Right.
It's that repetition. Because the brain loves repetition, and the brain is designed. I recall you were saying when you came back enlightened from Peru, you went to your parents. It was like, I need to change you. And nobody wants to change. That's because the brain is designed to protect us.
Yes.
The brain, anything new introduced to the brain, it's an attack. You know, it's survival of the fittest. And so we have to be very easy about introducing anything new.
Yeah.
To the brain, to our routine, any shift, because that's the only way it's going to stick. If it's abrupt, the brain will fight back, you know, fight or flight. So we have to easily introduce new things to routines and morning routines. Sometimes you gotta habit stack, what I call, right? Add a new habit to something you're already doing. Like you do with enjoying the drink in the morning that you already are making, but it's a meditation piece for you because you're already having the drink, but you're journaling on top of it. And you're being cognizant, you're being aware, you're being alert. That becomes a lot easier if you were to set two different times to do each one.
Right.
And so that's crucial. Yeah, I really, really appreciate that. Now, tell us, how can we find you? How can we connect with you?
Absolutely. So you can find me through my website. I'm at leenoto.com, LEENOTO. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and then my Instagram handle is at leenoto_.
That is easy. And her name is spelled LEENOTO.
Short and sweet.
So yeah, short and sweet, easy to find. We'll definitely put that on the show notes and on your social media handle as well, so people can connect with us. Yeah, before we go, tell us about what finding your purpose has done for you, for your life.
Yeah, the first word that came to mind is turn on. I feel completely turned on and engaged in navigating through and growing and better understanding my purpose each day. And there's just this aliveness that I feel now that I didn't feel before. Mm-hmm. There's a vibrance and there's a presence, a new sense of presence that I have in my life. And I'm finding that my capacity is so much more expanded than it once was. My emotional capacity, physical capacity, professional, spiritual capacity. There's just this desire to want to share and give and learn and grow. And, you know, from all of the humans I've ever spoken to, that's what we're really looking for here, is that ability to feel purposeful and to feel the meaning of life, to make our own meaning of life. And that I'm so grateful to be on that journey.
Yeah. It wakes you up in the morning.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like work. You have joy when you do wake up because you're giving back. It's that sense of giving back. And then when you give, you'll be filled. You know, Zig Ziglar has a beautiful quote that says, if you help enough people get what they want, you will get what you want. And that's essentially what happens when we stumble and find our purpose, or when we step in to our true calling. And for you, it started in Peru. It started in Machu Picchu. And it's been growing so beautifully from there. And so one or two tips on how one can begin to step into that calling, that purpose.
So the biggest thing here, the word that comes to mind is space, allowing space, and even doing a habit stacking where there is some time in your daily routine to allow free flowing space. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it is journaling, perhaps it's dance or breath work, but in that space is where we create. It's like seeing a blank canvas and being able to create whatever inspires you, without expectation of what your purpose needs to look like, feel like, how much money your purpose needs to make you. Allowing that creative energy to come through is so important. And one of the misconceptions that I had for a long time was that I needed to keep doing and doing and doing to find my purpose. Mm-hmm. My purpose came in my rest and replenishment. So the more we can allow ourselves a little time to just down-regulate and free ourselves of the thoughts and worries and fears from everyday life, that's when the inspiration comes through. That's when the great idea drops in. That's when the business idea comes through, or the thought to reach out to someone.
Yeah.
It's in that blank space. So the more we can allow ourselves some of that rest and replenishment, I'm certain that beautiful ideas will naturally find us.
Yes, well put. Cultivate that space, that mindless space, right? We're so busy being mindful. We're told to be mindful, but no one just says, you know, just chill, wonder, because the quote, the one who wonders is not lost.
Yeah.
You're finding your purpose. You're giving yourself that time to be quiet. And that's how it started for me. I actually just took 2 weeks off and I had no plans. No plans, no agenda. And I was just journaling every day. That's all. And it was intentional. I said, you know, I'm tired of the hustle and bustle. I'm tired of trying to figure it out by myself. I'm trying to find something, a business idea to latch on, to grow. You know, I'm just going to give myself 2 weeks for it to come to me. Within 7 days, it came to me. And so just being intentional about it is crucial. That intentional silence is a big piece in thriving, in success, in general. So I'm glad you confirmed it. Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
It's been an absolute delight talking to you this morning, Lee. Thank you for your time and energy today.
Likewise, Luneet. It's been a real pleasure. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
It is my pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.